Glad you're here today on an Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and we'll look into the Word some about some of what that means. I put a slide up here. We're doing a new series today, the faith, F-A-I-T-A, the faith of Jesus. We'll look at that, the faith of Jesus. The first slide I have up here, and we'll have some scriptures later, you may want to take notes. I put this up here. There's a picture there of the rider on the white horse. The rider on the white horse is found in Revelation. In Revelation 19, verse 11. Jesus is called in Revelation 19, verse 11, the rider on the white horse is called the faithful and true. Is he faithful and true always to the call of God in his life? Faithful and true. Jesus had to have faith to do what he did. Now, we don't think of it that way sometimes. I never did much until I started studying it, and I've heard other people say that. But the faith of Jesus, he had to have that to do what he did. In fact, I'm going to read you a list here. Just bear with me for a minute. To show you how important faith is, and we'll talk about what faith is later, but faith is an essential to your Christian life. We all know that. We're supposed to believe, yeah, but it goes deeper than that. And this list I'm going to read, I don't have it on the screen, but there are some on the table back there in the back of the auditorium if you want one. Without faith, I just put the list. I found 33 things in the Bible that you can't have unless you have faith. Without faith, you can't be saved. I've got scriptures here too, so I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but you can look them up for yourself. Without faith, you can't be saved. We all know that, don't we? Without faith, you can't be saved. Without faith, you can't be righteous. This is all out of scripture. Without faith, you can't be justified. Without faith, you can't have grace. It's what the Bible says. Without faith, you can't have the Holy Spirit. Without faith, you won't pray in the Spirit. Without faith, you can't receive the promises of God. Without faith, you can't even approach God. Without faith, you'll shrink back and be destroyed. Without faith, you won't have any assurance of your salvation. Without faith, you can't benefit from God's Word. Without faith, you can't be God's child. Without faith, you can't avoid sin. The Bible says all of this. Without faith, you can't successfully live the Christian life. You ever heard that thing? We walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, you won't fight the good fight of faith. Without faith, you can't have the victory. John wrote that, didn't he? Faith is what? The victory. Mm-hmm. Without faith, you can't have the victory. Without faith, you won't be productive in the kingdom. Without faith, you won't see answers to prayer. Even Jesus taught that. Without faith, you'll be easily deceived. Without faith, you won't be a good example. Without faith, you won't endure persecution. Without faith, you can't have Christ living in you. Without faith, you can't be raised with Christ. Without faith, you can't be shielded from Satan's attack. Doesn't it say that in Ephesians? A shield of what? Shield of faith. Without faith, you can't resist the devil. 1 Peter 1:9. Without faith, you can't honor Jesus at the end of your life. Without faith, you can't be blessed. Without faith, you can't be healed. Without faith, you can't have courage. Without faith, you won't see any miracles. Without faith, you won't stop worrying. Without faith, you won't win souls. And the last one, without faith, you all know this one, you can't please God. In fact, it says, and that's in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, you read all that and you think, maybe I should pay some attention to my faith life because I'm missing out. That's 33 items I found in Scripture that say that you can't have this or that without the faith. So is faith important? Mm-hmm. Is faith important? Did Jesus walk by faith and not by sight? We're going to look at that. That might be a new idea to you, but we're going to look at some of these things. Next slide, Galatians 2, verse 16 and verse 20. And I'm going to be in Romans 3, verse 22. These three scriptures, Romans 3, 22, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, and Galatians 2, verse 20, talk about the faith of Christ. Now, we know about faith in Christ, don't we? You can't be saved without faith in Christ. But there's a sense in which Jesus himself had faith. If it's impossible to please God without faith, and Jesus pleased God, then what do you know? He must have had faith. Jesus had faith? Well, Romans 3:22 says this. Verse 21, I'll read verse 21 to get you into the context. Romans 3:21, but now a righteousness from God apart from law. Oh, we talked about that one in class, didn't we? A lot. Today, this morning, we talked about that. There is a righteousness you can have. It doesn't come by your own effort. It doesn't come by your own goodness. You can be right with God even though you're a sinner because Jesus is our righteousness. Verse 21 of Romans 3. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes by faith of Jesus. By the faith of Jesus. I say that because I don't want to get into all the details and go into the weeds on it, but this may shock some people, but your Bible was not written in English. Some people think the King James Version was the original. Mm-mm. The original goes back 2,000 years. It was written in Greek. Why was it written in Greek? Because most people in the Roman Empire spoke Greek. All the apostles spoke Hebrew, but they also spoke Greek. You had to speak Greek to get along in the world in the Roman Empire. So it was written in Greek. Because it's written in Greek, it has to be translated. You'll hear people talk about, I like this translation of the Bible or that translation of the Bible. To get the Bible in English, somebody had to sit down and translate it originally from Greek. Well, the Greek word, the faith of Christ, is accurate. It's not on there, is it? Yeah, faith of Christ. This is King James. So all of you who love the King James, you can say hooray now. It's kind of hard to read in modern world, right? But literally, and the Greek literally says this. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. What does he say? He had the faith to go to the cross. He had the faith to get the resurrection. He had the faith to die for our sins, die to the sin of the world, for the sins of the world. He had the faith to do what he did, and we'll show you that. But then I put my faith in him, right? He had to have faith to do all that. And the Bible says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. So you put your faith in him. So I'm not taking away from the faith we have to say he had faith. He had to operate by faith. Let's look at some scripture. The next one on here, on the slide, is, in the beginning was the Word. You've heard this one, haven't you? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, who is this Word? Yeah, toward the end of that one, I didn't put it on the screen here. The Word, he talks about the Word as a He. You're not talking about the Bible. He's talking about God sent His Word, and it was in a human body. He sent His message to us in a human body. Jesus, right? In the beginning was the Word. He didn't have a body then. He was the Son of God, is the Son of God. So he got inside a body. And later, it's on here too, in verse 14, what does it say? The Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word of God became a human being. The Son of God became flesh. God walked in a flesh body. God walked this earth in one of these, walking around. Now that's not taught in a lot of places, is it? But that's what the Bible says. The beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became, God became flesh. The next slide. We're going to talk about that. Was He God in flesh? Was Jesus God in flesh? If you don't believe that, you can't be a Christian. I mean, it says it more than once in the Bible. It says it right here. But the next slide shows you something more like what we can deal with in Luke 2:49. You remember the story of Jesus? And all of his family, he was 12 years old, and all of his family went to the great feast. And they had to travel from Galilee down to Jerusalem. Well, that trip down there was like going from here to Shreveport on foot. From here to Shreveport on foot or in a wagon or back of a donkey. So it was quite a trip. But once a year, they'd make that trip. Some people find it hard to get to church. No, they had to go something like 80 miles to get to the temple. So they go down for the great feast. And the thing is over, and they all head back home. Now, Mary and Joseph and all Jesus' siblings are in an entourage as they go back up north to Galilee. So they headed out, and a couple of days in, they can't find Jesus. That sounds odd, but if you've ever been to a big family reunion, it's not easy to lose a kid, is it? I mean, they're all playing and running and screaming, and they're doing things. And so Jesus was with the family, and all of a sudden, they look around, and he's not there. And so Mary and Joseph head back to Jerusalem to find him. Well, they looked around Jerusalem for a little while, and the last place I guess they thought of was the temple. And they went to the temple, and what did they find? Here's Jesus at 12 years old, sitting among the teachers of the law, the great rabbis. And he's asking them questions. And he's asking them such questions, they're impressed with this 12-year-old boy that is so eager to know. So eager to know the Word of God. Then it says, they found him, said, "We're searching for you." He asked, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" You've heard that, haven't you? "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" I mean, why were you worried? You ought to know where I would be. I'd be in church. Well, I mean the temple, but I'd be in my, literally the Greek says Father's things. I want to know about all my Father's things. Why is he calling himself, why is he calling God his Father? At 12 years old, they didn't quite understand. The next verse goes on to say they didn't understand what he meant. At 12 years old, he's zeroed in on, like a laser, on his mission in life, and he believes already at 12 that God is his Father. Then it says, I think it's the next slide, he went down to Nazareth. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Luke 2:51, which is not long after what we found out about him being in the temple. He went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. They got him and said, "You're coming home with us." So he went. And it says he was obedient to them. Jesus grew. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 51. There's a typo on one of those, but look at Luke 2:51, you'll find it. And Jesus grew. And Jesus what? Grew? I thought he was the Son of God. He grew in wisdom and stature, which means he got taller. He grew in what? After 12 years old, he goes back with his family. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. I thought he was God. He is. He has one amazing thing in common with you. He was human. Oh, he was God's son in a body, but he's human. And he didn't start out knowing everything. Some people had, I had that view of Jesus growing up in church. So, well, he's like Superman. What's Superman do? Went in the phone booth, boom, I'm Superman. Here we go. I can do anything. Jesus walked as a man. So, we'll see later, that's glorious because he understands you. He knows you well. He understands what it's like. Does he know what it's like to be betrayed? Does he know what it's like to hurt? Does he know what it's like to weep at the grave of a friend? Does he know what it's like to be lied about and have people tracking you down to murder you? He had that, didn't he? Don't think that he doesn't understand. You might talk to somebody and you got a problem and you talk to them and you go away thinking they didn't understand. They've never been through this. I've heard people say who lost a child to death that you can't really understand that unless you've been there. Well, has Jesus been in every situation we face? He does understand. So he grew. He grew in what? Wisdom. He grew in stature or in size, in favor with both God and man. Next slide's even more specific. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, talking about how he can be our great high priest. In other words, he's at the Father's right hand now, pleading for you, praying for you, interceding for you. And how can he do that? It says here, NIV puts it that way. Son though he was, he learned obedience from that which he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. He learned obedience from what he suffered. When I was a kid growing up, I learned obedience from some things I suffered. Did you suffer some? I saw a funny on Facebook, this kid, he's running at the camera and he's running for all he's worth. And mama's behind him with a switch. And he says, I love those days when I would run with my mother. He ain't running with mother, he's getting away from mama. Jesus had to be disciplined. I don't say he was a bad kid, I'm just saying that he was a child. We just read it, right? Other places. When he got lost at the temple, they took him home and he obeyed his parents. Did Jesus have to obey his parents? Yes. Kind of taking the blinders off about who Jesus really is? I'm not saying he's not the Son of God. I'm saying God loves us so much, he wanted to be one of us to help us out. To get inside one of these bodies and suffer like we suffer and eventually die for the sin of the world. Nobody else could do that, right? Because he was sinless. Because he loves us. Amazing. Made perfect means made complete. Doesn't mean, you say, well, I thought he was, if he learned obedience, how could you make something perfect? Well, the word in Greek means mature. He got to the point of maturity. He didn't even start his ministry till he was 30. What did he do before 30? Carpenter, contractor, we would say today. Next slide. We got to hurry through this, but next slide. Son though he was, he learned obedience. Jesus said this about himself, John chapter 5. There's some scriptures here in the Gospel of John. Read it sometime. Gospel of John, there's some scriptures here that'll enlighten us a little bit. This one, Jesus said these things about himself. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. Who's he talking about? Himself. John 5 verse 19. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. Did Jesus say he could do nothing by himself? Did he say he had to have his Father? Did he listen to his Father? There are some places where he said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. The next slide, that was John 5, 19. The next one, John 5, verse 30. By myself, I can do nothing. He said it twice. He said it more than that, but he said it twice already that we have seen. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Did Jesus walk this life in a body? He didn't float like a ghost. He walked. This is not going to be on the screen there, but do you remember the time he talked to the Samaritan woman? John 3 or 4? They were walking from Jerusalem. He and his group were walking. He's now teaching and being the rabbi and the Messiah, and so he's got his group, and they're headed back up to Galilee, and they have to walk everywhere they go or ride a donkey. And so they got up to Samaria. That's about a third of the way home. And they all stopped to rest. It says, he sat down. They went down into the village to buy food, but he sat down at the well to rest. And a woman came to draw water, and remember the Samaritan woman, you've heard that story, right? And she came, and Jesus said, could I have a drink of water? Would you give me a drink of water? Why would he ask for a drink of water? He's thirsty. Why was he tired? He walked all the way from Jerusalem. That's probably a 30-mile walk. Might have stopped somewhere to rest, but he was tired. You ever been there? I heard a lady say one time, we had vacation Bible school around here, and it got over, and everybody was kind of tired, you know, all the kids running everywhere. And this lady said, I'm not just tired, I'm VBS tired. That's a different level of tired. Did Jesus get tired? Did he have to sleep? Did he have to eat? Did he bleed? Did he sweat? The reason I bring all this out is to say he had to walk by faith just like you do. And that's encouraging to me because it says, if he did it, he's going to show me how to do it. I'm not serving some person that never suffered and never walked this earth and never had troubles and problems and betrayals. And Jesus preached according to the parable of the sower. He said the word goes out, the seed goes out. And he told that parable of the sower, you can look it up, and it's four kinds of soil. One kind of soil didn't even understand what he was saying. The other kind of soil, they took it for a little while and they dropped it. And the third kind of soil got into it and tried to live it, and they found it hard and they quit. The greatest preacher ever to walk this planet did not get everybody, did he? One-fourth. The parable of the sower, one-fourth of the people that listened to him got it. So preachers know that. You're preaching away, and some people are there, and they're getting it. They're soaking it up. They're getting it, and a couple of pews over, somebody's asleep. And it's like, Jesus had that. He had people dismissing him as mentally ill. He had people dismissing him as demon-possessed. They said, he's got a demon. That's why he can do these miracles. Did he know hardship? All the time. By myself, I can do nothing. He said that one, didn't he? By myself, I can do nothing. Said it more than once. Next one. By myself, I can do nothing. Luke 3, verse 21 and 22. As he was praying, heaven was opened. This is at his baptism. As he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, and a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Did that happen at his baptism? You know, when he was tempted by the devil, what did the devil say? If you are the Son of God, was just 40 days before that, he had heard from the Father. The Father said, you're my Son. Now the devil's saying, you might not be. Is that the way the devil works? Oh, put that doubt in your mind. I mean, church is great. And you get a good infusion of good stuff, and you leave, and about Tuesday afternoon, it's all gone. It's like, who did that? Devil starts bringing stuff to your mind. And you buy it, and then you got it. Then you ever been in a store with all the nice china and glassware, and sign says, you break it, you bought it. Right? You break it, you bought it. All that stuff that the devil was trying to tell him, if you ever buy into that, you're done. You can recover, but it'll be hard. So what did the devil say? He said that. Are you sure you're the Son of God? What did the Father say to him? With you I am well pleased. Look at the next scripture on there. Some of you know this one, some of you do. Next scripture is Hebrews. Hebrews 11:6, what does that say? Without faith, it's real hard to please God. Without faith, you might get it done, but it'll be hard. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Since Jesus pleased God, That was before Jesus. That was at his baptism, before he ever did anything in ministry. The Father said, I'm already pleased with you. He saw faith in his son. Jesus had faith before he ever started this thing. And the Father saw it, and he said, you're my son. I'm pleased with that. I am pleased with you. I know he had faith. He had to have faith to do what he did. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must do what? Believe he exists. Well, that's a good start. I mean, a lot of people don't believe that. And what else? That he rewards. That your relationship with him, and you're working with him, and you're working with his things and the house of God, all of this, if you believe, if you please him, you have to believe he exists and that he rewards, that all this work you do. A lot of people don't see much point in going to church or doing anything for the church. They just don't see the point, and they don't think it's valuable. But this says, if you have faith, what? You will believe he will reward me for every good deed I do. Not that I'm earning anything. It's just God looks on you and he's pleased, like he was his son. And because you're walking by faith, he'll be pleased with that. Jesus had to walk by faith. Anyone without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards. Do you believe God rewards when you follow him? Oh, it's a glorious life. We just read a communion about Mary Magdalene. Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. What was her response? I'm yours. Whatever you need me to do, I'll follow you anywhere. I'll do whatever. She was ready to doctor up his body at the tomb, right? If you believe he's a rewarder, you're walking by faith, aren't you? You're walking by faith. Matthew 26, verse 36. When he was facing the cross, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 36. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Now here comes the faith. What's the faith part? Yet, not I will, but as you will. Did you know he went to the cross by faith? Next slide will show you that. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. And I'm going to look at it. I'm going to look at it in Scripture. I'll read some of it to you. Hebrews 5, verse 7. It starts in Hebrews, earlier in that chapter, talking about our great high priest. What does that mean? He is in heaven now at the right hand of the Father, and he speaks on our behalf. How could he do that? He cannot do that unless he understands. Why do people gravitate? We'll say this, alcoholics. Why do they get more help out of Alcoholics Anonymous than they do just talking to somebody else? Somebody who's been there. When someone has a drug addiction problem, they go to some rehab, and usually it's people who've been through that themselves. So it's, and this idea here is he's talking about our high priest. If he's really going to be effective in talking for you to the Father, he has to know what you're going through. Does he know that? So Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cry. Listen to this now. Jesus did this. He prayed with loud cries and tears. Loud cries. He got loud out in that garden. Loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard. God heard him. Because of what? Reverent submission. Are y'all listening to this? Reverent submission. What was the reverent submission? I don't want to do this. Did you know his flesh didn't want to go to the cross? I don't want to do this. He told the disciples, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. This is killing me, he said. I'm already dying right here, waiting for this thing to happen. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And as he's going through that, he's crying out and praying to his Father. And his flesh did not want to do that. It didn't want to go to the cross. We would feel the same way, wouldn't we? I mean, it's agony, it's pain, and then he is the sinless Son of God, spotless in his spirit. And he goes to the cross and is treated as if he's the worst sinner, as if he's all the sins of all humanity in one place, focused on one person carrying all of the shame and all of the sin and all the degradation of all the human evil that has been done throughout all history. And it's descending on him. And he literally said to them, this is killing me. Pray. He said, you pray. Took him up to the garden, didn't he? And you pray. Pray that you won't enter into temptation. What'd they do? They fell asleep. Sounds like church, doesn't it? Some of the most massive, major things are happening, and some people sleep through it or talk through it. It shouldn't be. This is holy ground. You say, this building's not holy. You know what the word holy means? Set aside for God's use. Is this building set aside for God's use? So it's holy ground. It's holy ground. Now, we could tear it down and build another one, but still. He's on the holy ground of saying, I don't want to do this. Didn't he say that? If there's any way we can avoid this, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he was heard. He had been praying, save me. Literally, the Greek says, save me out of death. He knows he's going to die. He's not asking not to die. What's he asking? Help me through it. Bring me back out. Bring me back out when I do die. I die for the sin of the world. He said, nobody takes my life. I give it. And he knows he's dying, and he's dying a horrible death physically. But more than that, he's now cut off from his Father. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the cry of his flesh, isn't it? Even though the Father loved him, when all the sin of all humanity was placed on him and God got ready with that big hammer of justice and dropped it on him, the Father had to back away. And he felt it. He knew it. He knew it was coming. And he knew it when it happened. So he prayed before he got there, don't leave me like this, please. Don't leave me in this. Don't leave me cut off forever. What is death? Being cut off from God. Don't leave me like this. And he prayed, and he prayed. And what did it say in Hebrews 5? He was heard. The Father heard him because of Jesus' reverent submission. I'll do what you want me to do, Father. But please, don't leave me there. Don't leave me there. 3 days later, you've got Easter, because his prayer was answered. His prayer was answered. The next slide. And the next slide, I'm going to hurry through these, though. He was heard because of his reverent submission. I put it at the end of that one. Jesus' resurrection came out of a prayer. A prayer of what? Prayer of faith. When he prayed, don't leave me there, he had to have faith that God the Father would not leave him there. He died for you by faith. Gave himself for the sin of the world by faith. What's faith? Well, it's confidence in the one you believe in. Faith is not just some abstract idea. Faith is, Jesus said, have faith in God one time to his disciples. Faith in a person, faith in the divinity, faith in God, faith in the one who saved you, faith in him. And he had faith in his Father. And so it's resurrection came, Easter came out of that, out of a prayer of faith. I got one more slide here. We'll hit that one. I like this, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Do we have a race? You had a birthday, and you have a death day. I hope it's a long time from now, but it might not be. Life will be over. You have an expiration date, and so do I. I don't like that, do you? I don't really like that, but here it is. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Little ones die every day, don't they? And the devil gets in there, and the devil is the one who loves death, and he loves to kill people, but this is a race. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, doing what? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Who is he? The pioneer and perfecter of faith. It says in the NIV, the pioneer. One version says the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning of your faith, and he's the end of your faith. That first day you had faith in Jesus. I hope you already had that, but if you haven't, do it today. But the first day you put your faith in Jesus, that started a race. And the other end of the race is when you finish this life. We fix our eyes on him. I can trust him. We can trust him. We know he understands us. We know he gets it. We know he rewards. He takes care of us. If he will do that for you, he'll certainly give you the little things, won't he? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the rest will be added to you. You don't have to hunt for it and chase it down. It comes. Other things come because you seek the kingdom first. And this says that we should run the race with perseverance, a race marked out for us, doing what? Locking in, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Who is he? He is your faith. He is the author of your faith. He's the finisher of your faith. He's the example of your faith. And so with him being a man of faith, you can say, he will help me. He will help me. He knows what I'm going through. It makes Easter even more interesting, more exciting. Because Easter says the Father did not leave him there. He did not leave him a dead man. He did not leave him as just a memory. He's alive. And you will be too. You will be too. The last slide, we got a prayer we need to pray. I want you to stay engaged and pray. Don't just check out when I say this, but you pray too. We're praying over people who don't know the Lord. And we're praying over people who did, but they fell away. They quit. And the notebook we have up here has names, 30 or 35 pages of names. You have turned in these names of people in your family. Maybe friends, maybe neighbors. You say, well, that person doesn't know the Lord, and they've been in a hospital lately, so I want us to pray for them. Names of those people, those are people who used to be followers, used to be believers, and they quit. So we're praying. When I'm praying, I want you to think up a name. Think just a moment. Do you have a name in your heart where I want that person to come to Jesus? I want them to know the Lord. You pray silently and say their name before the Lord. I'll pray over the notebook and you pray over that. Father, we're asking for help, for your wisdom. We admit, Father, sometimes we don't have the passion we should have for those around us who are dying all the time, and they're missing out. They're missing out on eternal life. They're leaving this planet without that beautiful sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We want them to hear and to obey. We know, Father, if you will send us, we will go. We ask you to do that. We ask you to help us to get to the point where we care enough to pray about these folks every day. We have people in our own lives that want to see them come. We want to see their hearts open to you. We know you can do that, but you said we don't have because we don't ask. We don't want to be the break in the chain. We don't want to be the weak link in the chain. We want to be doing our job, which is to pray and to seek out people that don't know the Lord. Thank you, Father, for blessing us today with Jesus, who loves us so much. May we love him in return. In Christ's name, amen.